Okay, so good. It's good to see everybody, and we'll learn a little. Let's just start where we're by the gimel. We'll go through, and again, this is a schmooze. So if anybody wants to ask, please feel free to contribute. So, taking from the Sefer Avodah Savodah, the Tosha Rebbe, Halig Tosha Rebbe, Zechus Yogi and Aleinu. So he says, Bechodesh Tammuz, right, which we're in right now, Veshiva Oserbo, specifically he's going to talk about the Tainus, the 17th of Tammuz, Horid Moshe Rabbeinu Es HaLuchos L'Vnei Yisrael. So you have to think about what exactly happened on this. This was when the Luchos came into the world for the very first time. That's an amazing hashpa that comes in. Now we know that they didn't last. The first luchos were smashed as a result of the cheta egel. But since they were brought into this world, the light, the ora Torah, came into the world on Shivasar Betamas. And that is not relegated, or I should say, not limited by the fact that they were broken. That's unchangeable. The fact that the Or HaTorah came into this world on the 17th of Tammuz, we weren't zoicha to receive it. You know, it's, sometimes you could have something amazing happening, and if you don't have the proper kalim, you know, I think in other contexts, they give an example. You know, imagine standing under a waterfall and trying to catch it with a little plastic cup. So it's going to get blown away. The cup's going to get totally smashed to smithereens. You won't be able to catch it, but that doesn't change the fact of what's happening. So that koch of Torah comes into the world every year on the 17th. Elisha az adayin lozach Yisrael kal machmas cheta egel aval la'osi lovim in the future kasher yisukan avon ha'egel, when we fix and correct the chet ha'egel nekabel b'chazores haluchos rishonos, we're going to get back the luchos rishonos asher horid Moshe be'esahi, that Moshe Beinu brought into the world at this time. L'chein, therefore, la'osi lavo, yetzayim revi, yom shvasa betamos, yom tov gadol. So in the future, there's going to be a tremendous yom tov on shvasa betamos. And this is a common idea that the 3 weeks that we have of the Beinu Mitzarim parallel the 3 weeks starting with Rosh Hashanah and culminating in Shmini Atzeres. That these days of we'll call darkness for now, are really contain tremendous light. And even in the physical world, when you want to reveal something, like a diamond, so diamonds, you know, if you're asking me where to plant a diamond, put it on some luxurious tropical island with beautiful scenery. But that's not where diamonds grow. Diamonds are found in coal, underground, covered with schmutz. So to these days might seem to be dark, but really there's a tremendous light. And that's what the Rebbe is saying. There's an Or HaTorah that comes in. So that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a Yom Tov Gadol. Ha'inivnei Or HaLuchos Shenitnebo, because the Torah was given on the 17th of Tammuz. Ela Shel Eis Ato, but right now, Yom Tov Zeh Mechusa Adayin. It's still covered. It's not always going to be that way, but right now, this day, this holiday, this Yom Tov is covered. Kevin Shadayin Lo Nischapir Avon Ha'egel, because we haven't yet corrected and fixed that Chet HaEgel. There's a Meshe Chochman Chumash where he writes that we have two paradigms of sins. One sin of Ben Adam Le Chavero. If I ask you, what would you think? Feel free to unmute yourself. What would you think is like the ultimate chait in the Chumash of Ben Adam Le Chavero?
Killing?
Yeah, no, I'm looking for it's a good answer. I'm looking for a specific chait, something that happened. You say Cain killed Hevel, okay, but besides murder, what would be a different Ben Adam Lechavero? Okay, right, yeah, definitely there was ingratitude. The Meshech Chochma says that the paradigm was Mechiras Yosef, the chait that the brothers did of selling him. That was... Every chait ben Adam lechavero is somehow connected to that, and he writes that the ben Adam lemakom is the chait ha'egel. That there's some, you know, the Chazal tells us that there's still some sort of residue. So that's what the Rebbe is alluding at over here. the idea that we haven't yet been mechaper for that. The tov haganus, that or haganus that's hidden, the goodness that's hidden will be revealed. The ein tov velatara, right? That's according to Gemara Brachos. The ultimate goodness is Torah, and that goodness that we don't see yet is going to become revealed. When will that become revealed? Well, it'll become with the Torah, because this was really a Kabbalah Satorah. Really, we don't think of it that way. We think, oh, Shavuos v'Tammuz, that's the beginning of the 3 weeks. It's true. It's a tinus now. It's Tzom Revi, but that's not going to always be that way, right? Lechein Isa B'Divrei HaRizal. So it quotes in Likutei Torah from the HaRizal. Amash Omer Aaron Chag LaHashem Machar. Right. So let's just, the date of this was actually on the 16th of Tammuz, right? And Aaron says, tomorrow's going to be a Yom Tov. Chag L'Hashem. Tomorrow, right? Sha'amr came B'tez Zayin B'Tam. He says on the 16th. Al Yom Yud Zayin B'Tam. He's talking about tomorrow. He's saying, Aaron HaKohen is saying, tomorrow's going to be a Yom Tov. It's going to be a Yom Tov. Was it a Yom Tov? I mean, there's Shvir Saluchos. So what kind of Yom Tov is that? Teretz is, it is a Yom Tov. It's just not a revealed Yom Tov quite yet. Shiyom Hazeh Yeh Chag L'Mochar. So Yesh Mochar L'Achar Zman. You can have, Chazal tells us that Mochar could be something that's at a very far date. No, machar means in the future. We know who machar is tomorrow. That's true. The next day, right? Machar. But you could have a machar that's going to be a year from now, 10 years from now, 1,000 years from now. There's a machar that's la'achar zman. Dekoyah la'osi lavo. That means when Mashiach comes. Sha'az yeyom hazeh chag la'Hashem. That this day is going to be a yomta for Hashem. Mipnei shenit nebo luchos rishonos. So he's explaining what does it mean when Aaron tells the Klal Yisrael that the 70th of Tammuz is going to be a Yom Tov. We, the push-up shot means, you know, he's trying to, it's delay tactics, right? He wants to stall them. Okay, fine. But on the deeper level, the panemius is that this is really a Yom Tov. Now watch this. Uchimo shiyom kippurim hu yom ha-chasima. Just like there's a chasima, you know, when we talk about the Chasima is the sealing off of something, the closure of something, right? Kimishnit nebo luchos shnios. Well, that we're very familiar with. That Yom Kippur was the giving, the second time that the Torah was given. So, okay, that's a completion over there. Shum chos moshal kodesh baruch hu. Ki chos moshal kodesh baruch hu emes. Talked about the Goren Shabbos and Nun Hei, that the seal of Hashem is truth, is emes. Hayne ha-Torah shenikra is Torah's emes. The Torah is called emes. Cain, so too Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. So just like there's a chesima, a closure, so to speak, of something major happening on Yom Kippur, so too he says the same thing is by Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. Yom Shidu Baluchas Rishonus, he ki bechinas Yom Kippurim. Tammuz, Shavuos B'Tammuz is a bechina, an aspect, there's something that connects to it, just like Yom Kippur. Yom HaChesima, just like there's this sense of closure, right? The ode, but yes, there's ace mi Yom Kippur, but on a certain level, it's even greater than Yom Kippur. Ki aluchos rishonos heim bedarga yoser gedol miluchos shnios. Because we know, Chazal tells us that there were many things that were by the first luchos that did not exist by the second set of luchos. So just like by the second set of luchos in Yom Kippur, it's a chesima, it's a kal v'chomer, how much more so since the first luchos were on a higher madrega, comes out, if you follow the logic, it works out very well, that Yud Zayin Shavuos B'Tammuz is a higher madrega, is a higher chesima than Yom Kippur. V'chein gam yom yei tamuz heim yimei tshuva, ki b'chines Yom Kippurim. And this is really continuation. In the first and earlier shtickel, the Rebbe is pointing out that Tammuz is a time for thinking about doing tshuva. In fact, we can go even, some swarm bring down before that. We're in Tammuz already, but some bring from Chaf Sivan. Chaf Sivan is 100 days before Rosh Hashanah. Even that already, the Yom and the Roim have started. Yom and the Roim, what do you mean? I'm thinking about my summer plans. Yeah, but we're thinking about Yom Neroim in the back of our minds already. We could start to think about these ideas, about Tammuz, about doing this time of tshuva. Ela shebechinas Yom Kippur hazeh adayin behester. It's still behester. It's still hidden, concealed. V'tizgal l'rak l'osi lavo. And in the future, then it will be revealed. Va'al pize yesh loimar, so we could say, based upon this so far, ki sheiches shel yimei tamuz leparshas korach. Ah, so there's the parsha connection. So what's the connection between Shavuos v'tamuz into parsha? She'anu korim, now the next part, b'kinisas b'chodesh hazeh, the beginning of the of this month, right? Where this is our first. We said Rosh Chodesh is this week. So the first parsha we're reading in the month of Tammuz is Korach. Ki min ha'or shel haluchas rishona shenitnu b'yemei Tammuz yotza ta'uso shel Korach. So this is the mistake that he made. Sh'omer Zal. Chochem Gadol haya Korach v'tu'uni Aron. Korach was one who used to carry the Aron on his shoulder. Now, I guess, we'll try to point out here, it's brought down in many swarm, but just to speak this out for a minute, let's try to move beyond, you know, the five-year-old comic book version of what Korach looked like. You know, in the five-year-old comic book version of the Chumash, so you know what Korach looks like? He comes up riding in on his Harley Davidson, and he's got a leather jacket, and he's got tattoos up one arm, and he's got piercings all over his body. He looks like a real gangster. The Baal HaTanya says, what do you think Korach looked like? Korach, he wore a silk bekesha. Korach was mamish a rebbe. You know, in the Satmar, the Yitav Lev, it's a beautiful sefer I have here, Yitav Lev. So he writes that by his Zaydi, the Yismach Moshe, he remembered being a Gilgal, being in the generation with the fight between Korach and Moshe. And he said, Zaydi, you were on Moshe's, you were with Moshe, right? So the Zaydi said, no, I was neutral. I couldn't tell who was correct. So we read the Chumash. I mean, how could you say such a thing? Korach was a gadol. Now, what does that mean? So let's work this out for a little bit. Korach was obviously trying to do something. It might be on the scope for tonight to explain what exactly. We'll discuss this tomorrow in the pre-Shabbos shmooze. But what Korach was aiming at, he was an Adam gadol. He became great. Let's read a few more lines. That he was one of who carried the Aron. Ki be'eis shenase ha'aron hisig oros. Shotorah, he got hasagas, he had insights into Torah because of his proximity, because of his unique avodah that was connected to it. So he had a big hasaga. Lo rak shaluchos shnios, not only the second one, elegam ha'oro shaluchos rishonos. He had a shaychus to the first set of luchos. Kmosh Omer Chazal, Gemor Bava Basra, shivin luchos minachos ba'aron. We know that the Gemara tells us that even the broken pieces of the first set were put in the Aron with the second, the Luchos Shnios. From there, the Gemara discusses. That's why we give kavod to a Talmud Chacham who's forgotten their learning. They're the bechina of the Shivri Luchos, right? They're broken. Unfortunately, they don't have a retention. Their mental faculties are no longer with them that they can remember everything they had. But it was there. So too with the Luchos Rishonos that it was there. It was broken, but we are still mechavin them. It goes together. Lechein ro ha'oros asher ya'iru be'es ha'geula. So Korach saw things that were not shayach to his time. He saw things and he had hasagas of things that were going to be in the future. And that's what he was trying to do. The deeper, Svaram Kadoshim explained the rebellion of Korach. He was motivated to so to speak, force the issue and to create Yemosa Mashiach. It was premature, and that's why it wasn't successful. But he had these ha'oros of those, right? That's what he's hinting at over here. L'chein ro ha'oros asher ya'iru be'es ha'geul be'elef ha'shvi'i. What's going to be in the seventh, 7th century, right? Which means when Mashiach comes, Be'eshiz gale ha'or ha'torah shaluchos rishonos, when that's revealed, mitoch kach sa, because of that's what we thought, shitzorech kvar l'shamesh b'kahuna kimo be'elef ha'shvi'i, right? That in the future, the Levi'im are going to be the ones who are going to be the serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Right now, it's the Kohanim. The Kohanim come from the Midah of Chesed, like Beis Hillel. And the Levi'im, their shorish, their root is Gevura, like the Beis Shammai. And so what Korach was doing, this is what the Rebbe is hinting at, was that he was trying to force it into, because he knew what it was going to be in the future, and he wanted to bring that out already now and to make himself into a manhig that they should, it should be like it's going to be with Mashiach. That's what it means, right? Peish is galor Torah shaluchas rishonos mitokach sover. I think I went back a little bit. Yeah, shetzorich lekvar b'shamish bekahuna kmo el b'shi. Right, can easily be Arizal. Kila osi lava yishamshu halavim b'makom hakohanim. That when Mashiach comes, now again, you're going to ask me, well, how does this work with the eighth principle in the Rambam, the Torah, Shlodei Mochlefes, we're not going to change anything. Okay, there's terutzim for all these questions, believe me. I'm not, the Rebbe knew exactly what he was talking about, but that's what the idea, the Korach was trying to, so to speak, force it and bring the Levium to their place they're going to assume when Mashiach comes. Nimsa, what emerges from this? Kito shelo bo mizeh shehisiga oro shahaluchas rishona shnitnu b'chodesh Tammuz. He had a hasaga, he connected to the way it was supposed to be, and it's all connected to the month of Tammuz. Now it works out well, because we're saying Tammuz is when the first luchos were given, and we're not ready for that yet. They were broken. And the Levium, we're not yet ready for them to be the manhigim, to be the leaders of that yet, to be to take the avoda. L'chein yesh l'chodesh Tammuz shaychus shel el parshas Korach asher anu korim b'knisas l'chodesh zeh. So that's the connection between Tammuz, the month that will become a Yom Tov, bigger than the Yom Kippur, because it's the luchos rishonos, not the luchos shnios. And so that's why we read about Korach, because it's the same aspect, it's the same, I don't want to say mistake, I want to say the same misguided actions of trying to force that beforehand. So hayotzi lanu mikol zeh, what emerges from all this we've said so far, ki achodesh hazeh mesugul lahasig ha'orah shel haluchos rishonos. We all, on our level, have an ability to connect to the first set of luchos. Af shlo yizgal or zeh ad lo osid. It's not going to be totally revealed until Mashiach comes. Mikom okom, nevertheless, bepinimius gevar meir zeh belibo shel kol bar Yisrael. Already, the neshama feels it. The neshama is sensitive to these things. It's in our hearts. Ki or ha-ge'ula mizgaber v'doifek v'chol yom yoyser v'yoyser. This sounds to me like a line from Rav Kook. Right, that the light of redemption grows and is knocking every more and more. Right, okay. The idea that the redemption that's growing inside of our neshamas. Just going to go back up to the top of the next column. L'chein chodesh hazeh mesugo sheyizke ha'odem lahasiges or haTorah lahargish arevus ne'imus haTorah. So this is a time to sense the sweetness and the pleasantness of the Torah. You know, we like to quote from the Hakdama, the Egli Tal, where he says there's a very big mistake out there in the world that people don't understand what it really means, Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma means when a person gets a geshmak out of their learning, that they have a ne'imus and a sweetness in the Torah, and that's what really, you know, what would be your options? You could have an ice cream cone, or you could have a marashah and toisvis. No question, I want the Marashah on Tosos. Who wants an ice cream when I can have it's sweet, it's more of a geschmack, it's more tasty for me to learn the Marashah. So that's what a person has to have. There's an Orach Chaim, he writes, that in the end of Chumash Devarim, that if a person would really be able to sense the sweetness of the Torah, that they wouldn't have taivas, they'd go meshugan just out of their cheshik for learning Torah. You know, people, if they have a drive for something, if they want something, they're willing to push themselves for it. Now, you know, in a COVID-19 world that we find ourselves, these not so posh at times, you know, it used to be when there was a sale, like Black Friday, so people would be camped out for like, you know, 2 days in advance, right, in order to get a good television set or something of long-lasting importance in their life. So people would want to do that. Oh, having audio trouble? Sorry, I just came in the chat. Can you hear me now? Yeah, Matt, you can hear me? Yeah, Dr. Lax, Kiwi, you got the air? Ira, we good?
That's okay. Am I the only one?
Maybe, don't take it personally. Everyone else?
I was just wondering if it's my connection.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Can I do anything on my end too?
It's just a little bit choppy right now, we're okay.
Okay. So people will push themselves for something because they feel like, you know, it's it's worthwhile for me to get this physical item. So satun ruchnias, when a person has the ni'imus hatara, when they feel the sweetness of it, they're willing to push themselves for it. There's a gemara in the end of Nedarim that says the reason why the churban happened is because they didn't make a bracha on the Torah beforehand. So a lot of different commentaries want to explain what that is, but the Degel Machne Ephraim wants to say over that you know what it means they didn't make the bracha on it beforehand? You know what the bracha they didn't make on the Torah was? Listen to this. Veherevna. They didn't make a bracha that the Torah should be sweet to them. So they were learning, but they weren't learning with that ni'imus. They weren't learning that ravus. They weren't learning with that gishmak. And they're learning it. Yeah. But no, you have to, that's part of it. Which again, and in halacha, I think Rav Asher Weiss has a piece like this, that birchas haTorah, he suggests, I think it's from Rav Asher Weiss, where he says that it's a birchas hanenin. You know, where else do you find making a bracha that it should be sweet, right? Before we blow shofar, before we take a lulav, before we light the Chanukah, the Herevna, right? Please let this mitzvah be sweet to me. Teretz is, but because that's a chelik of the Torah. To be learning the Torah, and it has to be done in a sweet month. And this is the Zman. The Zman of Tammuz is when we're able to work and to be mekabalat and to get a hasaga and what it means to have that. Right? That's what he brings to the end in this piece. Ki lekach tov nasat lechem trasi al tazoivu. Sheyar yishat Torah hi lekach tov. Do we really feel that way? Like a lekach tov, I got such a... Do I have a simcha in the morning? I'm talking to myself, but like, do we have a simcha in the morning when we make birchas haTorah? Do we really feel, wow, asher bochar banim yikol ha'amim, I have the privilege of learning a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah? As the Tanya writes in the beginning, Perek Dalet, Perek Hey, that there's the greatest, you wouldn't expect this, right? You'd expect it in a Litvisha Sefer, but from the Hasidim, the greatest Devekus one has is through the act of Liman haTorah. Do we connect to that? Okay, let's do a little bit more. Any questions so far? We're good? All right. L'chein. B'chol pamtem sha'adam maschil la'asok b'torah. Before a person begins la'asok b'torah. And the Taz writes that the brach we make, la'asok b'torah, is like a lashon of an asek, of a business, right? When you have a business, so a good businessman is always thinking about how to improve. How can I make my product better? You know, the advertising, or the promotions, or the sales. Like, how am I gonna? What new products are out there? You know, you're always thinking about it. So we're always thinking in learning. That's why we don't make a new bracha, birchas haTorah, throughout the day, because even subconsciously we're thinking about it. Or some, I think Rabbi Sobolovsky once pointed out, how we act throughout the day, when the decisions that motivate our actions are based upon Torah. So that's like thinking and learning, a lot of different perushim for that. But the idea is that we're making, before we begin, lasok b'Torah, tzarech lomar haposak, v'hi noam Hashem elokeinu aleinu, that we should have, v'hi noam, please let it be sweet, let it be pleasant. Lahamshich b'zeh noam Hashem b'toch liman haTorah, to bring into our lives the sweetness of it. V'lizkor, to remind ourselves, ki haTorah hi noam amiti. That's the true sweetness in this world. The true sweetness in the world is learning Hashem's Torah. Noam u'mesikas nitzchi. Right? An eternal thing that lasts. Kosh amar kosov ne'imos b'mincha netzach. So this is a beautiful vort he says. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, in Tez Zayin. Ne'imos b'mincha netzach. So ne'imus b'yamincha. What does it mean that the sweetness is in your right hand? Pirush ha-ne'imus sheish b'torah. The sweetness of the Torah shenitna b'yomin. Right? That the Torah is given with Hashem's right hand. Netzach. That will be forever. Hinitzchis. That's something that really lasts. Mar she'ein kein ne'imus shel devarim gashmiim einam nitzchios. But a physical sweet thing will not last. As I was preparing this piece, I was reminded from a vort that I think Rabbi Simon said over, they heard from Rabbi Bajanon in the name of Rapam Zatzal. So Rapam asks at the Shlom HaMelech, when the Klal Yisrael went back home, the tent, they went home in the place of Simcha. So they said it was Hashoras Hashchina. So I asked Rapam, how do you know that's what gave them Simcha? Maybe it was just a good steak sandwich they were eating. He answered, no, because you see that it lasted. And physical pleasure, it's good for the moment. Believe me, when you're in a nice restaurant, you got a good steak in front of you, some good spicy fries, especially with a little barbecue sauce. Ah, geschmack. Everyone never likes a good sandwich. Of course, of course. But that doesn't last. It doesn't last. A day later, like, well, what just happened, right? But when you have something, you do a chesed for somebody, you have a meaningful tefillah, in learning, anything that's a ruchnius, you do bikur cholim, something, a mitzvah, that's a davar nitzchi. That's something that lasts to it. And that's what we see, that if our ne'imos come from what's b'yimincha, from what came from Hashem's right hand, that's something that's going to last. And in life, you know, we want our things we're investing ourselves, our time and our energy and our resources, we want to have a kiyum. So if we put the, again, I'm not saying to exclude, there shouldn't be any gashmias. Of course, you know, let's be frank, throw the dog a bone, you know. You know, or he came and said it to me, the boys learn well, so enjoy, have Coke or whatever it is on Shabbos, you know, throw the dog a bone, give him, because believe me, we're not as holy as we think we are. We're definitely affected by that, and good gashmius leads to it's a stepping ground for that. Fine, but that's not the focus. That's not the goal. We want something that's really long lasting. That has to be something that's spiritual. Ki acher she'adam milei tavos, a person after he fills up his tavos, makir, he recognizes she'tava he ashpa. That this whole thing was in the dirt. This I was thinking about again when I was preparing from the story with Amon and Tamar, that he violated his sister. And it says immediately after he raped her, that she became disgusting to him. Teretz is that he had a taiva, he fulfilled his taiva, and then, like the Rebbe says here, you recognize that the whole thing was ashpa. The whole thing was dirty, disgusting, very, very low-level thing. Now, that's how the Yetzer Hara works. You don't see it as an ashpa right away, but you have to be mechazik ourselves. And, you know, Ezu Chochem, Haroas, and Nolad can see, you know what, this might look so attractive and so tempting right now, but it's in the long run, it's not good for me. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to hurt others if I engage in this taiva. The ein l'shum shavius. It's no shaychus over here. There's no connection. V'zer she'omrim b'piyut yedid nefesh. That's what it means when we say yedid nefesh. Yerav lo yedid asech minoifes tzuf v'chol ta'am. Yedid asech hayna Torah. What's yedid? What's precious? The Torah. Kemo she'omr hakosav. It says ki tovin odechem yayin. It's sweet to me like wine. Dekoyel haTorah shnikras dodech. Zos yeravli. That should be sweet for me. Minoifes tzuf v'chol tam. More than anything else. More than any type of delicacy out there. Yos michol tam shebe'inyoni olam hazeh. That the Torah should be the sweetest thing in my life. There's a video. I encourage you all to watch it. I can try to send it out afterwards. There's a video of Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel Zatzal at one of the Siyum HaShas, and you see that the way he's speaking, and he says something, and again, only Rav Nosson Tzvi could have, you have to watch it. I can't do justice to his words, but he says the word Hadron Lecha Shas Bavli. Are there any sweeter words in the world than Hadron Lecha Shas Bavli? And with the way he says it, it's so pure from his pure neshama, and you see that the Rosh Hashiva lived like that. That there was something, that there was nothing more sweeter than the Torah. You know, many stories. We could have a story hour just on. I'd recommend you reading the biographies, the stories that have come out. I can't resist. I'll share one with them. They call it the $400 Seder. There was a Bach who was learning in the mirror, and he had a flight back to America, but he's going to have to miss like the last afternoon Seder of the Zman. And Rav Nosson Tzvi said to him, what would it cost to change the flight, to get a later flight, so you wouldn't have to leave before the end of the Seder? So he said, it's a $400 increase in price. He gave him the money. He gave him $400 to sit and learn that, whether to finish up that Seder. So you see, that's the idea. When we have that, when that's your ne'imus in life, and the sweetest thing you possibly have is limud haTorah. So then, what's $400 for a few more hours of limud haTorah? So let's just finish off now. V'al zeh mispalim herav no Hashem elokeinu es divrei sorasech v'finu v'fifio zamcha beis Yisrael. That's why we're davening for is for the sweetness. And as we said earlier, we don't make these requests for other mitzvos. They should all be sweet to us, but Davka, it's the Torah. And it's the Torah that comes to us in the month of Tammuz. Shiznizke kulanu lehargish noam arevis ve'isek haTorah. We should be zoiche to feel that, to have a hargasha, to be tangibly affected by the sweetness of the Torah. Anachnu v'tetzeinu v'tetzeinu, us, our children's children. Yihi ratzon shenizke lezeh v'chodesh hazeh. Amen. Kein yihi ratzon. So these are beautiful and inspiring and insightful words from the Tosh Rebbe, Zechus Al Gein Aleinu.